Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dr. Redmond.
And we're continuing our journey through the final season of Criminal Minds, or as I wrote in my review, watching Criminal Minds circle the drain.
Oh, dear.
It wasn't a good episode this week.
It was called Spectator Slowing. Oh, and God. IMDb says the BAU investigates seemingly random fatal explosions throughout Kentucky and Tennessee.
Okay. That is an accurate description. They also have a meanwhile, Matt is busy looking after his kids while his wife is laid up in the last weeks of the pregnancy.
Yes.
So, yeah, there is a, you know, at the same time. And for once, it has no relation to what's going on in the episode. So it is a legit meanwhile.
Yeah.
They so rarely have those. But this week, yeah, it's a legit meanwhile. So way to go, show. I got to say, let's just get the Matt stuff out of the way first.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Like, it's cute. It's sweet.
I mean, I got to ask, what on earth are you doing buying, like, a tie board game?
Yeah.
Like, do any of you speak Thai? All of the, like, I love how weirded out he is. The instructions are in Thai. Then you see, like, the box and the board. Yeah, everything's in Thai on the box and the board, too. Where did you get this game?
Oh, when he was passing through at some point. No, no, he says when he got it, but yeah, no, it was just like...
That's my point. Like, it's like, why did you think this was a good idea? For kids. Like, come on. I know it had a colorful box, but, you know, like, you can just let them play Nintendo. It's fine. Nintendo's great. That's what it's for. It's for playing.
Or just pull out a game, a deck of cards, and play Go Fish.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of stuff you can do with your kids. Although, I think my favorite part of the episode is literally his abandoning his let's have the kids cook something fun idea. He's like, oh God, some website told me this was a good idea, and it is not a good idea.
No, he's picking Mongolian.
No. Moroccan. It was Moroccan. It was Moroccan. But yeah, it's like,
it was
no.
Moroccan.
I mean, although to be fair, he didn't pick Moroccan. He randomly stopped the finger on Moroccan.
Yes, that was his first mistake.
Yeah. No, like, pick something the kids can actually get involved in, you know? Yeah. Something fun. Well, do you know what I will say? And this is a thing from my own life. If kids will really enjoy learning to make lasagna, because lasagna is an incredibly fun meal to make, because it's basically like a paper mache art project. And then when it's done, it's delicious and everyone loves lasagna. So yeah, that's a little fun thing. If you're actually looking to do that with some kids, lasagna is the thing you want to pick, because it's like an art project. You have layers, like you get the noodles wet, you've got noodles to play with, you got sauce to play with, like it's...
Cheese to play with.
Yeah, exactly. Like it is actually a lot of fun to make if you wanted to do this. But no, like his idea, let's randomly pick a book. No, you don't know what you're going to stop on. That could have been a disaster. And by the way, like, it's fine for kids to be finicky. They have very sensitive taste buds. So they can, it's fine for kids to only want the bland things they like. No, my entire childhood, I remember people like, why don't you like avocado and these strange fruits? And I'm like, I'm just going to stick to apples, thanks. Apples and mashed potatoes, that's my jam. And of course, now I love hot sauce and avocados. Because I'm old and my taste buds don't work anymore. So I need rich flavors. The stronger the cheese, the better. Actually, and this is the last true fact I'll say, I get looks at my local deli because I'm the only white person who buys strong cheese.
Really?
Yes. And I say white, I mean, you know, bland, boring Canadian middle-class person. All of the Italian people at the Italian grocery buy strong cheese, and all the Greek people buy strong cheese. But every time I ask for strong cheese, they're like, are you sure you want the strong cheese? You sure you're not asking for the wrong thing? Did someone, like, did you find this on a website and maybe that's not really what you're looking for? Like, no, really. Like,
it's okay.
Most flavorful cheeses you have, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like no Swiss cheese for me.
Yeah, no, yes, Swiss cheese. Oh God, no. The older the cheese, the better. So it is a legitimately fun scene. They're all great together. He's very natural with those kids. Like, are those his real kids? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I know nothing about the actor, but he's very natural with the kids. Everybody's got good chemistry. Like, it doesn't. It's one of those weird things where it's the subplot has nothing really to do with the themes or the message of the episode.
Nope.
At all. So it's just a fun interlude with the characters, which we almost never get on the show. So,
well, I think everybody must be getting one in the last 10 probably, episodes.
Probably, right? Yeah. Like they're just going to give everybody some kind of a pop-in like this. So yes. Yeah, it was nice that they got this little pop-in. I thought the family was fun. Well, because we've never really spent any time with this family before. They only got here a couple of seasons ago.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to stop at 5.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to stop at 5, which, yeah, no, that's the right choice. I'm surprised they didn't stop at 4. It's a lot of kids. Yeah. That is not a small number of kids, you guys.
The BAU must pay very well.
I would hope. I mean, oh no, she's also a lawyer, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, remember from the Die Hard episode, she's also a lawyer. So yeah. I mean, she works in like, you know, environmental law, so it doesn't pay great, but it's got to pay something. Mm-hmm. Actually, not environment, ACLU, she works for the ACLU. That's it. So yeah, it can't pay a lot, actually. But yeah, no, I really like that whole thing. So let's talk about the part of the episode I didn't like. The rest of it.
Oh. Well, this was a very, well, I mean, at one point I'm going, oh yeah, going back to the well, eh? Okay.
Oh God, yeah.
I don't know how many going back to the wells they did, but this episode was basically the one where you're going, do they not know where Canada is in relation to Memphis, Tennessee?
It's kind of weird that like all of those people ended up on the same cruise. Like they all ended up on the same St. Lawrence cruise, maybe like from Toronto to Newfoundland. I mean, we never got told where the cruise went, but it's like there was like, and they all ended up being people who were in a straight line down from like Quebec. It was kind of, when you look at the map and you see that it was like Ohio, then Kentucky, then Tennessee, and I'm like, okay, this guy's doing a lot of traveling. But yeah, like it was a long trip for them to have taken, and it's weird because it doesn't have to have taken place in Montreal. That's such a strange random place for them to have chosen. Especially because it was an American who got killed. And the killer is from Texas? Like, what a strange detail to put in.
Well, it's not just that. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we've got these four people who were murdered. A serial killer in Montreal. But no, it's the end where, okay, so this woman stepped on
the flower that he had left.
The flowers he'd left because his mother got killed in Montreal.
Was one of the victims of the serial killer, yeah.
Right, was one of the victims. But first of all, why did the serial killer take the kid as well? That was one problem. I'm going, so the kid saw his mother
no,
die.
No. Okay, that's, you were a little confused by that. I'll explain. I know this is ridiculous, but unrelated to the fact that she was murdered by a serial killer, years earlier, her husband had brutally abused her.
Right.
And the son had witnessed that over and over again and been helpless to protect his mother. So then, 20 years later, she was murdered by a serial killer in Montreal.
Yes, and when because the son, they were living.
No,
were
just living she. In Montreal. Just she was living in Montreal. And after he found out his mother was murdered by a serial killer, he went there to put a, he traveled there from Texas to put a flower on her grave. Well, not her grave, but like the place where she was murdered. Weird thing to do rather than putting the flower on the grave, but whatever. The place where she was murdered. And he happened to be there the same day the looky-loo came to get a photograph of himself at the crime scene.
Okay, yeah. Then tell me this.
Yes.
Did he take the woman in the yellow dress back to Montreal?
No. He took her back to the house where the... Oh, no, yeah, you were confused because there was the police tape and the guard. No, that's the house from the beginning.
Oh, Lord.
No, and there's no... And as I said in my review, there's no reason for him to take her back to her daughter's house, except the producers cannot afford any more locations, and they had already rented that house for one day. So they were going to get their full 24 hours out of it.
Yeah, because I'm sort of sitting here going...
Yeah, because they specifically talk about the yellow tape earlier. Yes, they specifically talk about the significance of the yellow caution tape earlier, so that when you see the yellow caution tape, you're like... Wait, has he gone back to Montreal? Now I understand your confusion. Yes.
Yeah, my confusion was, what? How did
drive
he take
to Montreal? No, he didn't.
Across the border into Montreal?
No. I mean, I understand why you thought that, but that is not what happened.
And I wasn't going to go back. I have PVR'd it. I did watch it live, and I have PVR'd it, but I didn't go back to check it out.
No.
Because I'm really busy this week.
No, totally understandable. No one's going to judge. That is such a minor part of the episode. No one's going to judge you for missing it. But I understand why the episode created that impression in you. Yeah, because it's bizarre that he goes back to that house. Especially because, and this is the thing, like, given where they live, I'm trying to think, should we address this episode's issues in linear order or what? Because it has a lot of issues. So first off, how do they not find out that it's really about the families immediately? Because we're asked to believe that the first two victims, right... Their family members got cards after their family members were murdered that were gloating and featured photographs of the victims being stalked, and they didn't tell the cops about it? Or if they did, the cops didn't mention it, or Garcia didn't find that out? Like, that's insane. That is, like... Right away, the minute you get a card from the killer saying, ha ha ha, I murdered your family member, fun and games to come, which is his catchphrase, right? Fun and games to come. Call the cops about that. Right away, they should have known that 100% there was a serial killer targeting the family members of these people. Like, there's no way they couldn't have, like, they could have not known that. I don't buy that at all. Right? And so this whole episode kind of falls apart immediately when you realize they would have had to immediately find out about this.
Well, it doesn't fall apart immediately because you don't find out that happened until halfway through the episode.
Well, no, I'm saying you're right. The internal logic of the episode falls out immediately. But
yeah,
this is the kind of episode where these two women, like the teenage girl and the mother, were blown up at the start. Mm-hmm. And we never get a straight answer for why they were not killed. Because their first theory is, oh, well, he wanted them to suffer more by still being alive. But they weren't the intended victims at all. They wanted the grandparents, the parents and grandparents to suffer. So how does having their children, child and grandchild, not dead, make them suffer more?
Yeah, no, that didn't make any sense. Plus, you saw what the bomb did to the house. They were dead.
I know, right?
How the frick did they survive?
It was
that?
Powerful enough that it blew open a door one room over.
Okay.
And what she was standing next to it when it went off.
If the daughter, the granddaughter
yeah,
had
I
survived,
logically,
I would have said, okay,
that's fine.
Because she
yeah.
was far enough away.
Yeah, no,
that
I
she
agree
might
with
have
you completely.
Survived.
Yes. Totally
but
agree with you on that.
Did
but
not.
How did the mother survive that? And you know what the crazy part is? I feel like they might have changed the mother surviving in the edit. Because that actor's not in the rest. That actress is not in the rest of the episode. I think what happened was when they were editing the episode, they thought it was too sad. And so they went back and put in dialogue to, like, say that she's fine.
But that doesn't make any sense. We saw the blast.
I know. I mean, yes, we saw the blast. I agree with you. I'm just saying that we saw the blast, and then a line of dialogue says, but actually she was fine, right? Well, and I think...
Well, not fine, but she's going to be fine.
Yes, going to be. She's going to be okay. Well, like, the last thing we hear in the episode is, like, she's out of surgery and she's going to be okay. And yeah, I kind of feel like that was a last-minute addition because they thought it was too sad otherwise.
Since when did Criminal Minds step away from being too sad?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not... I can't get inside the head of these people. I'm not a profiler. But my suspicion is, for some reason, they decided to back off, and that originally that character did die, and they backed off for whatever reason, a reason I'm not going to try to guess at. Because it is weird that she's not in the rest of the episode, because she's not. Yeah, like, she's alive, and we never see her in the hospital, we never see her going into surgery, like, the characters don't make a ton of reference to her, like... Nobody's at her, like, nobody's outside the room waiting over to hear about her surgery. Like, it's kind of weird, actually, that we never hear any more about her treatment until, like, at the very end, they're like, yeah, she's fine. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's a very weird episode for a bunch of reasons. And the big one is, so, this woman and her daughter have been blown up in a bombing, right? That is what has happened. And yet... But they have survived when every other one of these bombers' victims have died, right? And yet the police do not protect them in any meaningful way. To the point that a man is able to walk right into the intensive care ward of the hospital, carrying a wrapped package. No one questions that. And then he walks into the actual intensive care room where the daughter is and just leave a wrapped package on her bedside table. That's insane. What are these cops doing?
I have no idea. Because they do specifically say, well, maybe he's going to come back and finish the job.
Exactly. But then, and then later in the episode, like, the grandmother gets a phone call from someone who purports to be the doctor and just wanders off, not telling anyone where she's going.
When she was told to stay there.
Well, not only was she told to stay there, she knows a murderer is targeting her. Whether she was told to stay there or not, she knows a murderer's out to get her. Take some steps to protect yourself. Like, but the writer has no idea how to get to the end of the episode that they want. So they're just like, what if she just wanders off? But here's my question to you. Even if she just wanders off, how did the killer get to her?
Well, I have no idea unless he was waiting outside the police station or he was waiting.
There are cops outside the police station.
Well, or waiting outside the hospital. And there were no cops outside the hospital.
Well, you think there are now that they've actually found a fake bomb in the hospital. If there weren't cops there before, there sure as hell are cops there now.
Well, maybe he ran her car down and took her out of her car.
Maybe.
How's that on the way to the hospital?
But, you know, that is not a good plan, nor something I believe that character could pull off.
Well, no.
Like, there's nothing about this episode, especially, like, later on in the episode, right, we get this weird scene at the blown-up house, right, of her daughter and granddaughter, where the cop, like, hears something rustling, and it turns out to be the woman, and then the cop gets stun-gunned, right? But here's the thing. A, you didn't, I mean, I'm not going to tell these cops how to run their job, but I feel like if I had just seen that there was not a cop guarding the wreckage, I wouldn't have called that unlikely, because I don't think there is a huge need for the cop to guard the wreckage. Like, I don't think that cop really needs to be there. But if you're going to have a cop guarding the wreckage, you force me to ask, how did that cop not hear that guy coming? They are in the middle of nowhere.
And she wasn't bound.
No, well, she was tied up in her, but she wasn't bound a lot. But the point is, they're in the middle of nowhere. You've been out in the woods. I've been out in the woods. You can hear a car coming from a mile away.
I know.
And that's not figurative. Literally, yeah, you can hear a car coming a mile away. Like, unless that guy's got an electric car, There's...
But where did he get the money? I know.
He's a broke scumbag. You're right. There's no way he could afford an electric car.
He spent all his money buying bodies to practice.
What the hell was that scene? That's a crazy scene, right?
Well, are they going to bring back the body snatchers? The body guys sell bodies and body parts?
Like, it's just like, is this scene just in the episode to be disgusting? Because I have no idea why the character did that. Like, why did the character do the test? He had already successfully killed two people with bombs at that point. Like, he knows how powerful the bombs are, and he knows that if he wants to blow someone to pieces, he just has to make a slightly bigger version of the bomb he's already making. So why risk his freedom by involving another criminal? Also, he doesn't live in Tennessee. How did he, completely out of the blue, find a guy in Tennessee who's willing to steal him a corpse?
Well, maybe he has the online thing on the dark web. And yes, he's practiced before every bombing, except that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because that second bomb should have killed everybody. I mean, what they're trying to, of course, imply is that he had to practice this time because the second one didn't do the job. And I'm going, I don't buy that because I don't believe that the second one didn't do the job.
She was literally standing next to it when it went off.
She opened it up and the bomb went off.
And the bomb went off. She was right there. She looked at the picture of herself. Well, no, it was just of her house. And the bomb went off. And although there's a great moment in the episode where Emily is like, she looks at the picture that they find with the bomb, right? And she's like, but there's, it's a picture of that in with the bomb in the photo album was a picture of the house, but it's got to mean something more. And then I'm like, oh, is that going to come back later? Like, are we getting a picture and there's a clue in there? Like, no, literally just a picture of the house meant to intimidate you. Like, it is exactly what it seemed to be.
Okay, my question is,
okay,
how close does he have to be to know that she's opened the parcel?
Well, he's watching through the window. Remember, he's got a telephoto lens on his camera. We see the telephoto lens of the camera later when he blows up the guy with the pickup truck, remember?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we assume he was, like, in the field across the way, looking through a telephoto lens, watching her open the package.
Okay.
And I guess she was standing right in front of the kitchen window.
But she wasn't. Her back was.
Yeah, but I mean...
No, and she was just opening all the other
things. You're absolutely right.
Her back was
to the window, wasn't it? Uh-huh. How did he know she was opening the package? Yeah, because part of his MO is he wants them to see the picture before he blows them up, but there's no way he could have known that had happened. You're totally right.
As far as I can tell, I mean, I could go back and watch.
Literally just watched the episode. You were right. You were correct about this.
Yeah, you know, so I'm going, plus, you know, I mean, if it's not strong enough, and this is the other thing, if it wasn't strong enough to kill the mother, it sure as hell barely would have hurt the daughter.
Yeah. No, you're right. Like, episode, the mother, as bleak as it is to say, the mother should have been dead. Like, 100% she should have been dead.
Given the way they showed the bomb.
Yeah, given the damage they show the bomb due to that house, there's no way the mother should have been alive. You're absolutely right. I hate to be on the side of not bleakness here, but you're completely right. That mother should have been dead. There's just no way. Okay, so yeah. And it's frustrating because you watch it and you're like, okay, well, he gets the... They have this extra step where he finds a corpse dealer and he buys a corpse and he puts the corpse in the yellow dress because he's mad at that woman who was in a yellow dress that day. And it's like, just so they can get a clue later that she's the target. Like, the only reason he did that was so later they can realize the wife was the target. But honestly, you don't even need that extra thing to know the wife was the target. Like, you've already figured out that the family members were the target. Obviously, he's going to move on to trying to kill them at some point. you know, unless he's just going to be bored with this, unless he like, and how often do they have killers who just get bored with it? I know that happens in real life, but on the show that basically never happens. Do they have killers who just kind of get bored with serial killing? Oh God. But then you get to the end of the episode, which is the single dumbest thing to have happen in the episode, which is they go out and they confront him and he says, I'm going to blow us all up. If you don't let me go. Right. And then Emily says, okay, whatever, blow us all up. And we realize that the guy wasn't actually holding the detonator. He was just holding a random piece of plastic and the detonator was clipped to the camera. And so when I'm watching this episode, I'm thinking, oh, okay. So Emily saw that he wasn't holding the detonator and that's how she knew that he wasn't in a position to blow them up. That was okay. It's pretty clever there, Emily, is what I thought.
Yes.
Because then we get one of the dumbest lines ever. Because in the hospital, they're like, how did you know he wouldn't blow you up? And Emily's like, I knew that because he had run fun and games to come. Emily's all like, oh, I knew he was going to blow us up because that didn't fit his profile. But she literally shot him as he was trying to blow her up. Like, he doesn't have the detonator and he dives for the detonator and they shoot him as he's trying to blow them up. And then her profile is, I knew he wouldn't blow us up because of his profile. And this is what? One of those situations where, like, if they had had a scene of him trying to blow them up and her saying, you don't have it in you to blow us up, that's not who you are, you don't want to die today, and she had talked him out of setting off the detonator, that's one thing. But that's not what happened. He did, in fact, try to blow them up. He just happened to not be holding the detonator at the time
that they got there. Yeah. And, you know, because he thought he had more time.
Well, of course.
And as I said, JJ, okay, she got to kill somebody again.
I know, right?
You can't shoot him in the arm. You can't shoot him in the leg. Well, no, but you got
like, and as I was, as you'll see in my review, like because I figured that Emily just noticed that he wasn't, that the actual detonator was hanging off of the thing. I'm like, well, the moment you see the detonator's hanging off the thing, just shoot him in the leg. That way he won't be able to run for the real detonator. The minute you realize it's a fake detonator, just shoot him in the leg and the problem's over because now he can't go for the real detonator. But instead, she friggin' provokes him into going for the real detonator, putting everyone's lives at risk.
I know.
What are you doing, Emily?
I mean, it's typical. It's the problems of writing in this thing. Plus, shall we discuss the killer's rationale?
Oh, please, let's discuss the killer. Like, the fact that the killer gets a motive in the last minute of the episode? Because, okay, so they decide what we are led to believe is the killer is mad because people were disrespecting his mother's, like, the place his mother was murdered. And he's angry at them for being disrespectful to her death site. And so he's going to get revenge on their families to prove that, right? To prove to them that you shouldn't disrespect the families of dead people or get back to them. But then that's not, the writer's like, no, that's not enough of a motive. I mean, it's a pretty stupid motive, but it's like, no, that's not enough of a motive. We need him to have a childhood connection to the horror of people who go to look at places where tragedies happened.
Well, no, specifically New Orleans.
Yeah, it's
what
weird
was
that
her
was
mother doing in his mother doing in
I don't,
New Orleans?
I don't know. I mean, I can't tell
I
you
thought
that
she
part.
Went to Canada.
Well, no, but this is years ago. This is years and years and years ago when he was a kid. Remember?
Yeah, but even the ages there, I just thought. I mean. There are so many places to check out in this episode.
I know, but no, it's such a weird thing to bring up. Like, why on earth would you suddenly add this extra level of why he was mad at them? It's like, also, the specific thing you did, I also have a childhood aversion to people who do that thing. And it's like, you didn't need to gild the lily there, guys. It's awful enough as it is. Like, you don't need this extra level of awfulness.
If what you are going to gild the lily, let it make sense.
Well, yeah. Although that's not their brand. But yeah, just like this, the idea that specifically, like, it's not enough that they were disrespecting his mother, the place his mother was murdered. Well, not even the place his mother was murdered. The place that the guy who murdered his mother blew himself up in front of a bunch of cops. That's what they were disrespecting, right? But it also, they have to put it in this weird line where it's like, his mother specifically thought that the practice of going to sites where tragedies had happened and being a tourist there was an unpleasant thing that she specifically had a problem with. So she specifically would not have wanted her own death to be turned into one of those. It's like, that extra level to it is just so ridiculous that it just pissed me off.
Oh, well, maybe his mother had a monomania.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe she talked about that specific thing all the time and he inherited it. Like, she was fixated on the one, like, 2 months where her job was making sandwiches for people who visited the sites of, like, went to gruesome tours in New Orleans
where Katrina did the massive
drowned
damage.
A bunch of people. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, disaster tourism is kind of creepy too, but killing people over it, that seems a bit much. And now I have the biggest question of all.
Oh dear.
How did he find out who those people were?
I have no idea.
So you agree with me, there's no way on earth he could have found out who those people were, right?
We don't see this man as being technically savvy.
Nope. Oh, he's definitely not technically savvy.
Okay, how is he, well, first of all, yeah, we don't know how he found the guy who sells corpses. Yeah. Then he goes, but except the guy can't be the really good group that sells specialty things because he's going, you takes what you can get.
I know.
You know? That's it. You know, yeah. You wanted a corpse. I got you a corpse.
Yeah. But anyway.
Take it or, you know, you've paid me. And was it $250?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
It seems low so for a corpse to me, but yeah.
So it isn't the group that sells body parts.
Well, no. And I just want to point out that it's like corpses are worth like thousands of dollars to medical schools. 200. Like if you're, I'm not saying get into the corpse stealing business. But if you're looking to make some money, stealing corpses is an incredibly good way to make some quick money because medical schools always need corpses, and corpses are really, like, they will pay top dollar for those corpses. Because what you've got to remember is somebody is paying, you know, $75,000 a year to go to medical school, and that comes, and that price comes with a corpse to practice on. And so, if the medical school can't deliver that corpse, they're in trouble. So they will kick you $2,000 to $3,000 for that corpse. I'm not saying steal corpses. I'm saying it is a known and well-established thing that people steal corpses all over the world for this exact purpose. Like, so it's not a crazy thing to find a corpse dealer. The crazy thing is that the corpse dealer would only be charging
$250.
That's crazy. That is an insane price to get for a corpse. But hey, they need this disgusting scene to happen, so the guy gets, and this guy is a low rent scumbag, so they need to set the price super low. But my question is, how could he have conceivably found these people? Like, there's no way.
It's like everything. What? He went to the cruise? He followed them to the cruise line?
No, but not even the cruise line. They rented a car in downtown Montreal. I mean, you know what Montreal is like.
Followed them? Yeah, well, yeah, I know, but do the writers...
Well, no, maybe not, but yeah. But, like, Montreal's a beautiful city, just FYI. But the port is relatively close to downtown. It's not that far from downtown, so the cruise ship would have parked at the port. Honestly, if you want to talk about good port city and good driving, logically, they should have stopped in Quebec City, not Montreal. If you, like, realistically, that is where the cruise ships are more likely to stop and go for a drive in the woods, because Montreal... Well,
yeah, here's the, and that was the big problem to me. I'm going, oh, they went for a drive. As I said, I am sure that the writers have never been to Quebec, Montreal, yeah, and have never driven north of Montreal to understand that what it's like. Because once you get off the highway, the big 4-lane highway that goes north out of Montreal, you're on these relatively small 2-lane roads.
Yeah.
Okay. And the timing was, and so you're driving on these little 2-lane roads.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, I know. It's not a ton of fun. But the point is, if you had been...
It didn't make a lot of sense to me.
But the point is, let's give them that, right? Just let's give them that.
Yeah, okay.
We have to imagine that they then drove out to see the leaves, right? They left, they drove to see the leaves. And then on the way back, right, they're like, oh, okay, I want to see they drove to see the leaves.
The murder
house.
Way
back, I want to see the murder house. And so he sees them at the murder house, and he follows them to the car rental agency. And they return the car, and then they walk and they get back on a cruise ship. He has no way to find out who rented that car. He has no way to find out who was on that cruise ship. The idea that, like, maybe really far reach, there might be some way to find out who rented the car. Maybe. I don't know how he would do it, but maybe. But how could he find out the names of the three random other people who were in that car? There's no chance he could have. So, like, the main couple who rented the car, maybe he could have found out their identity. There's no way on earth he could have found out anyone else's identity. It's not possible. So, yeah, the entire plot of the episode, like, it couldn't have happened. And, like, that is a fundamental part of the plot. Just couldn't have occurred.
I still don't understand why he killed blew up the daughter and the granddaughter.
Oh, because he was mad at the, because he was sad about his mother's, like, he was sad because his mother was, you know, her resting place was damaged. So he was
No.
What part don't you understand?
Okay. What I'm saying is, okay. Oh, yes. No. Okay. Just a minute. The other two cases, they were random members of the families of
the other people in the car.
The ship.
No, who were in the car.
In the car.
Five,
right.
Yes.
Okay, they're random. So why does he then want to go and kill the mother? Because she stepped on the flowers?
Yes. That's why she's the final target, because she's the one who stepped on the flowers. I don't think it makes more sense than you do. Like, I don't think it makes real sense either. But yes, that is the rationale they assign to this guy. Because
so they
she's, like, and they, the show tries to explain that that's why these people were selected for special treatment, i.e. they both weren't immediately killed, and he comes back with the bomb because he wants to double torment those people because they're the ones who stepped on the flowers. I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm saying that's the logic within the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just,
I know. Right.
And why did the not bomb have a timer on it?
To make people think it was a bomb. Just to scare everybody, I guess. I mean, it is weird that it had a digital timer. Like, you think it would just have an alarm clock in there that goes beep when it goes off. And then you open it up and there's, like, a little card that says boom And then that would have been what it should have been. But yeah, the timer, the little fake timer was kind of ridiculous. Although everything about the episode is ridiculous. But yeah, like he becomes fixated on this woman because she stepped on a set of flowers. But at the same time, you're like, that's enough to go to all this trouble. And more to the point, it's like, you're a guy, you don't live in Canada. They don't live in Canada. The idea that he could watch people, first off, he's got to follow them back to Montreal. He's got to watch the place they go to. He's got to watch them get on a cruise ship. And this whole time, he's got to somehow then figure out who these people were. And I just can't imagine a believable way for the character to have done that. Like, it just, it can't have happened.
The other thing I was thinking, just as you're talking about that, I'm going, and these are four Americans from Memphis and somewhere else.
Ohio and Kentucky, yeah.
Okay. And, they're
two of them
trying
were from
to...
Tennessee, one from Ohio, one from Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah. But they're trying to navigate Montreal streets from the port.
I know. I do not envy that guy driving the car.
You know, and okay, here's the mountain and it's in the way. Okay. And then I'm going to get on the Metropolitan.
I know.
Or what imagine. If I go on Jean d'Arc and I go north?
I know. I mean, trust me. All of our listeners who have never been in Montreal, trying to get from the port of Montreal to a highway out of the city is an unimaginable nightmare.
And I'm going, and one-way streets. Plus, everything is
in French.
In French. And French always has to be bigger than English.
And sometimes there's no English at all.
Yes. And I'm going, okay, like we've both lived in Montreal like different times in our lives. And it's like.
And it ain't better now than it was when either of us lived there.
You know, you're just, yeah, it gets worse and worse because they keep getting, there keeps getting less and less English.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah. Okay, and it's not, I mean, it's not to say that you can't.
No.
But given that they only had an afternoon to go and see the leaves, why didn't the crew, what would have logically happened is the cruise ship.
Would have had a
car.
Yeah.
Right, the cruise ship
would have
hired,
had a shuttle for that.
Yeah, would have, well, hired a small shuttle depending on how many people wanted to go. Would have taken them up into the Laurentians. They could have seen the beautiful colors in the Laurentians. We have to assume it was fall.
Of course. No, we know it's October.
Yes. Yeah. So all these beautiful colors in October, and but given global warming, they could have been long gone. But,
that's a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other conversation, or not even changed yet.
Yeah.
Depending. But okay, so we'll give them that. But the cruise ship would have hired, because that's part of why you would go to Montreal or
Quebec City. It would be part of the tour.
Well, Quebec City, you're going to go to the 1812.
Yeah, obviously.
The War of 1812 stuff. The General Montcalm and the rest. You'd visit old
Quebec. Yeah, there are beautiful battle sites around. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff to see around Quebec City.
And you go to Montreal and you go into the Laurentians, but they would have hired, they would have, the cruise. There,
you're right. Logically, they would have been part of the tour that they were paying for on the cruise. You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, when I was in...
Which would, by the way, would make it even harder to figure out who those people were.
Yeah. But, like, I went, and it would never have stopped at the murder house
anyway.
Well,
no, of course it wouldn't have stopped at the murder house. So, yeah, you're right.
And it wasn't a murder tour. And, yeah, it is kind of strange because even when we went, like we were in Israel and hired a tour guide.
Yeah.
We had a couple of days off and wanted to go down to the Dead Sea. And I wanted to, I wanted to see the whole area of the Dead Sea Scrolls, etc. And
Nag Hammadia.
And we just didn't have time. We spent our whole time at Masada, which was full, but we did hire a tour guide because none of these places are easy to maneuver around. And
it's
Montreal
true.
Is not easy to maneuver around.
No,
it's
not
a
at all.
Big, big city with lots and lots of suburbs, and it's got small town, like, and your GPS, well, maybe, and your GPS is, well, maybe it would be in English, but.
No, of course your GPS would be in English. It is for tourists.
And if you're going to use the GPS on your Google phone.
I still do not envy anyone attempting to be, to navigate Montreal their first time there. And you're right. Like, realistically, they should have just gone on a tour to see the leaves. But then the episode doesn't happen. I mean, the episode doesn't happen for a bunch of reasons. Like, fundamentally, this is an episode, the plot of which, for a bunch of reasons, couldn't have happened. But a weirdly large of them are about how tourism works. Which is strange for Criminal Minds to get those kinds of details wrong.
And what makes you think that this guy had a passport?
Yeah, this guy doesn't seem like the kind of guy who could have gotten into Canada. Like, he's a scumbag criminal. Like, he's a scumbag criminal with, like, a mile-long criminal record when they find out about him. And he was able to get across the border to go look at the place his mother died. I don't know if Canada's going to let this guy in.
At the border.
At, like, making it take place in Canada not only adds nothing to the episode, it massively hurts a ton of the episode. Why couldn't have they just been going to see the leaves change in Vermont?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Why does it have to be in Canada? It doesn't at all. They have leaves in Vermont, show. They got plenty of leaves. I mean, they're not as nice, but they are there.
Why didn't they take a bus tour to Vermont?
Yeah, like, that at least would have made a little more sense. But you're right. So this episode just doesn't make sense on any level.
It's just, you know, it's I'm going, in some ways it's nice to see that Criminal Minds is being true to form.
You mean going out
right
the,
to
like,
the end.
Yeah, it's going out
right
the way it
the
came
end.
In.
No,
that's true.
It's
no,
it's going out the way it began after Ed Bernero.
That's true.
Out.
Yes, you're right. Well, no, but I mean, on some level, you kind of wish, right? Right, you kind of wish that they would find a way to, like, pull out all the stops and transcend themselves and do kind of a Dragon Ball Z, you know, blast past all of their potential and just, like, knock it out of the park for the end of the show, right? Yeah. And these episodes are proving that they just don't have it in them.
Yeah.
They just don't. They're not capable of the kind of writing, producing, directing that they would need to be able to, like, give this show the send-off it deserves. And I'm growing increasingly sure that we're not going to, like, that Thomas Gibson isn't going to be in the last 10 episodes. And that makes me really sad. So it's like, I know they've got problems with him, and maybe he's a mess, but it's like, you could find a way to have him drop by for 1 hour. I guess we'll see, but, you know, it's like, I'm growing, to me, it's growing increasingly unlikely we're going to see Aaron Hochner one more time.
Oh, no.
And that makes me super sad. You don't think we are?
No, I don't think we are. I finally actually clicked on follow him on Twitter. Not that I go on to my Twitter account.
But you are following him. Good.
But I've been, a whole bunch of things came up, and so I just decided, follow. I don't expect anybody to follow me on Twitter because I
You don't
really,
tweet.
I don't tweet. So
why
would
they
follow me on Twitter? But I like to have it because I have a lot of the, like, CBC news organization.
Yeah, of course. No, you get news first on Twitter. I mean, Twitter is a good way to get news first. I do.
And like my old boss. Like, oh, okay. My old boss, it's nice to see what Frank has to say periodically. And
she used to work for a person who's very important in Canadian politics, is why that's relevant.
Well, the
we're not going to get into any more than that. But anyway, I keep hoping that he's going to turn up. And even though I recognize that he almost certainly isn't, like, as every week passes and we don't hear from him, it makes me a little more sad. And I will say one more thing about the episode before we go. The face-off killer, Everett Lynch, is not mentioned at all this week.
And you should be surprised?
Well, no, you say I should be surprised, but I just want to point out, last episode, right, last week, the first of the two episodes from last week, There is what I called one of the dumbest lines the show had ever done. I'm sure it won a Prentice Award. I would have to go back and check. So they have Matt say that the only reason that the face-off killer didn't cut off Joe's face was because he knew that killing a federal agent would bring down the entire weight of the federal government on him. It's a very dumb thing to say, but he said it, right?
Yes.
And, you know, credit to the actor for saying it with a straight face. But anyway, but it's a very dumb thing to say, but he said it. And of course, we laughed at this idea because, no, we all saw that episode. He didn't cut off Joe's face because he was being chased through the woods and the cops were almost on top of him and he had to run away.
Yes.
Like, that's the only reason he didn't kill Joe. He had to flee. But, and being a known serial killer is enough to get the entire way of the federal government. But even if you believed their insane rationale, now the character Everett Lynch, who I call the face-off killer, they call the chameleon, even though he doesn't wear disguises anymore. Like, he stopped wearing disguises, guys. Why call him the chameleon? But anyway, this man busted into the headquarters of the Justice Department and did a mass shooting. There was a mass shooting inside the Justice Department in the world of this show, and apparently, despite that, no one is looking for this guy. Can you wrap your head around a world in which that makes any sense at all?
As I said, alternate universe. Alternate universe. That's the only solution you can come up with.
How is no one looking for this man? How is his face not like on every news broadcast all the way? Like, national manhunt for serial killer who shot up the Justice Department. There is nowhere on earth this man could hide. And yet we're expected to believe that no one will see hide nor hair of him until, I guess, the last episode of the show? Or maybe it'll be the second last episode of the show and the last episode will be like a denouement. But yeah, like, this is what they're doing. Because I'll say this. The thing about Frank is, and we always talk about, like, how Mandy never bothered looking for Frank. Right?
Yeah.
And he didn't. And we criticized him a lot for that. But the difference is, they didn't have a picture of Frank.
Right.
Like, Frank, like, they didn't, like, they had all seen him, and they all, I'm sure, did, like, identikit sketches of him, but there were no photographs of Frank. And just the fact that there were no photographs would necessarily make him slightly harder to catch. But they have 1,000 photographs of this guy. They, like, he found women on dating sites with publicly viewable profiles. They have a picture of him in every conceivable costume he could have used. Every hairstyle, every hair color, every eye color, every weight. Like, they have the giant wealth. Like, normally, the cops have to, like, create identikit things. Here's all the possible ways he could look now. This guy already did that for them. So unless he does a black like me skin treatment to change his skin color, there's no way on earth they don't find this guy immediately. Like, literally, immediately. And whatever excuse they use for how he's been, hiding under the radar, like, it's not, like, I mean, maybe they're not going to try to excuse it all. Maybe they're just going to not discuss it. But whatever excuse they try to come up with on the show, I'm just right now saying, it's not even prediction. It's a statement. It's not going to make a lick of sense. I don't know why this is making me so mad.
Well, because the show, well, I don't know. It's because maybe the show is coming to an end. Plus, it feels like I think that's it. We're spending an hour on these, just one episode at a time. Last week was two episodes. It was a little bit long. This one will be shorter. And it's, we're treating these episodes and they're just no different. It's,
I know.
Like, there's no rationale. I could not believe when they were asked whether they were going to make a Criminal Minds movie. And by the way, the last episode apparently is 10 years in the future.
Well, why would you give me that spoiler? Come on, don't give me spoilers.
No, no, that was all the, okay, I'm sorry.
No more spoilers. But okay. Anyway, so but they no, might consider doing a Criminal Minds movie?
Well, somebody asked, remember I told you I watched that thing
oh,
with,
yeah, the interview with them. Yeah,
AJ yeah, yeah. and Matthew yeah. in his pajamas and in the studio.
Right.
But yes, they asked them, oh yeah, they would be thrilled. And I'm just going, yeah, who's going to watch that movie? I guess the Criminal Minds fans.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I sure wouldn't go and, well, I'd have to see it because if they
well,
did it,
you know,
Minds,
go, like, I like, I wouldn't go. Of course you would go see it. We would both go see it opening night and do an episode about it.
That's right.
Of course we would.
We'd have to do an episode about yeah. it. So yes, I'd see it, but. Yeah.
But you wouldn't be happy.
Not willingly.
And by the way, we're going to watch Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. Okay, so don't let's not pretend we're better than Criminal Minds.
I know.
Oh man, but anyway, you're saying
promised. We promised.
But no, no. But you're right. I guess that's why it feels so strange, right? Because we're normally we talk about a lot of episode at once, but devoting all of this time to a single episode when, as you say, this episode has no more substance, right? Than the normal episodes where we cram in three a week or two a week,
yeah.
right? It gives us all of this extra time to think about what the hell these people think they're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, we could do this in the 20 minutes that we usually do an episode. Every
but
now and then
it does
we'll
feel
have an episode
that'll be a little shorter, but yeah, I mean,
or longer.
But what it comes down to, I think, is that like it. I think because it is the last 10 episodes, mm-hmm. we want it to feel more meaningful.
Yes.
I think we really do. You know?
But like, I think their idea, so what you take away from this, okay, is that what they have decided to do, and this is what I see, is they've solved the Reed problem. They've solved the AJ and Reed problem.
Oh, thank God. I'm so happy they solved that.
Okay, and now for them, now they've solved the Daniel problem. So we are going to get Prentice and her motorcycle driving guy, and we're going yep. to get Joe and Crystal going off into the sunset happily. And then we're going to get, I don't know what's going to happen to Kirsten.
Yeah.
And Adam, I mean, Luke Alves, maybe he and
his doctor will get married
and have children or something.
By the way, you know what I want to have happen with Aisha Tyler, right?
Go to jail.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. They have to reveal that she's been killing people this whole time. She's a psychopath. That's how the character was introduced. And it has never paid off. And it pisses me off. It has never paid off, and it pisses me off so much.
We all know it's not going to pay off.
No, it's not going to pay off, but you got to admit, you know what? I'm ready to be delighted, and I'm ready to be surprised, because they cleaned up the Re-JJ stuff.
Yeah.
They spent a whole season building up to the stupidest possible plot line, right, with Reed and JJ, and then in two episodes, they cleaned it all up completely perfectly.
Yes. And so at the beginning of this episode, they're so, both so thrilled that they solved the problem.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was clean.
Yes.
So there you go.
And that's what they're going to be doing, right?
Yeah. And so I'm like, honestly, the show can still impress me. What if Aisha Tyler is the last killer they catch? That'd be amazing. The problem is, like, no one listening to this I mean, maybe you've read all of my reviews, but like the we haven't recorded anything about Aisha Tyler yet on the show. On the episodes. We haven't even recorded those episodes, so we're just both talking about my reviews. But I talk a lot about how Aisha Tyler is clearly a serial killer. That is what this is a reference. Or a serial killer in training. And that is what we have been, that is what all of this is a reference to.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned is what I'm saying. If you want to hear my justification for that one. So yeah, let's get to it. What is the next episode called, if you have the listing?
Yeah, I do have the listing.
I don't. If there's any synopsis, don't tell me. No more spoilers.
There's no synopsis. Okay, good.
What is it called, at least? So we can try to guess.
It's called... No, no, you'll never guess anything from this. Okay. The next one is called Saturday.
Yeah, that tells me nothing. That tells me literally nothing.
The next one is called Date Night, so that could be potential.
Yeah.
You know, you could kind of... The next one is called Ghost.
Okay.
And then the next one is called episode number 15.7. There's no title on IMDb. And the one after that is Family Tree. Right. The one after that is Face Off. So that's got to be.
That'll be the Face Off killer episode. That's by the way, the it's actually. It's the Face Off killer episode. Oh, so it's the second last. And then the final. Okay, so the final episode will be a denouement. All right.
And it's called And in the End.
Aww. And that's the one. That's the one Kristen Vangsness wrote, right?
With
Erica, her obviously. Highness. Yeah. Come on. All right. So this is great. This is going to be pretty exciting. We will see you back here next week for the episode Saturday. But until then, I want to thank you for listening. If you have any questions for us, if you have any suggestions, if you have a way you'd like to see the show wrap up, you can always drop us a line to tell us about it over at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're listening to this on a podcasting app, be sure to give us a rating so we can know how we're doing, and it also helps other people find the podcast. So until next week, as always... One more thanks for listening, and au revoir.
And have a good weekend.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.